Hi, Kenny Catcher. Welcome to the Chronicle of New Eden. I'm Dan Nord, co-CEO of Sovereign Advance, an alliance in Wampole and NoSec. I'm also the co-host of the Kenny Catcher Chronicle. It's a weekly show about Eve's New, every Tuesday at 2015 Eastern Time Zone. Today, we're going to talk about the political structure of the Midmathor Republic. I wonder how they manage to do politics with the seven tribes scattered in the universe. Also, we learned in the last episode that every tribe were independent. Or they can be independent, but all together. And those Nefantor, who sleep with the enemy, or they can be part of it. I have to admit that it begins to sound like a whole coalition I was in back in the days. Well, I think we are ready to dive into this episode together, and keep in mind that I'm doing that podcast to get better in English, so I'm sorry in advance. Political structure. The Midmathor Republic of today is a tribal republic with some democratic aspects. In the Republic's first phase, which for practical purposes lasted until shortly after the start of the Empyrean War in YC 110, the tribes had no official say in government matters, and the Republic Parliament was a very powerful body. This guaranteed empire political system placed the prime minister at the apex of the power structure of head of government and de facto head of state. In fact, given the importance of the tribes and their sense of sovereignty, the First Republic did not codify several important concepts, such as head of state or supreme judicial authority. Following the unopposed election of Malaetius Sacor as prime minister and his acclamation of the first Samatha since the Great Rebellion, the political order of the Republic was radically altered to end effective power back to the tribes. Samatha Sacor ruled by edict, with the support of the tribe, and effectively bypassed the parliament. He called for tribal assembly, the first gathering of the seven tribes since the Amarian occupation of Mathor, and this event resulted in a formal redrafting of the Midmathor Republic's political structure. Today, the tribal council effectively governs all aspects of the Republic, foreign and domestic, economic and military. A shift back to the old ways has begun. And many would say the era of the democratic experiment is over for the Midmathor. Tribe of the Republic. The new Republic embodies all seven tribes of Midmathor people, joined together in the Union of the Republic, with each tribe enjoying considerable autonomy. All tribes hold jurisdiction over their own member and territories, and have their own laws and internal forms of government. While individual tribes can differ greatly in the aspects, each tribe is ruled by a tribal chief who, in theory, wields supreme authority over the tribe. The territories of each tribe are extremely scattered, and the relationship between them can appear convoluted to the outsider. While seeming entirely natural and straightforward to the Midmathor. In the Midmathor star system, it is entirely possible to have a planet owned by the Subespiar with an orbital station owned by the Verrocchio tribe, but ran by the Cruzel clan, who then employ a circle for the Brutal tribe to run security and a Celebesier circle to administer it. The Troubled Chief are the head of their respective tribes, each chosen according to the tribe law, for terms dictated by those laws. This results in the tribal council never being renewed entirely at the same time, which provide long-term continuity than comparable ruling bodies. San Mata, why not the official head of state within the Republic, the San Mata carries out several functions that normally apply in states where an individual is head of state. In addition, in situations where the whole council cannot or will not attend in its entirety, the San Mata acts as the recognized head of state. As the council rarely meets outside of council meeting, this, in effect, means for much of the time the San Mata is visible and de facto head of state for the San Mata Republic. Once every 2 years, a tribal assembly is held to choose a San Mata, an old San Mata title of leadership literally translates as true Mata. The San Mata presides over all tribal council meetings, acting as mediator, but carrying no vote in council decisions. The San Mata's sole official power is the ability to declare an emergency, during which period he is granted complete executive control. However, the tribal council can vote by simply majority to end the emergency at any time, and when they do so, the San Mata is removed from office unless the council votes by two-thirds majority to retain the current San Mata. The Tribal Council. The council meets weekly at the Great Caravanserai on Mata, by ancient tradition a neutral ground for the tribe. While most meetings are conducted in person, it is sometimes necessary for members to join a meeting remotely via holography. In addition, while it is expected that each tribal chief attends all council meetings, she is entitled to appoint a second to take her place. All meetings are held in conclave, that is, private with public attendance not permitted. The Prime Minister of the Republic has a standing invitation to attend, but may take no part in proceeding. The remit for council meetings is to make final decisions on matters presented to them and discuss republic-wide issues formally. The majority of the actual politics and detailed work occurs between formal council meetings. For some decisions, commissions will be formed to investigate and report back. For others, experts will be summoned to be questioned and ministers can be brought in to explain their actions. The council has the power to deal with any issues as it seems fit, while bearing in mind the internal sovereignty of the tribes. The tribal council sits as the supreme authority over republic matters. While each tribe has full autonomy, the council is made up of the tribal chief, who in turn govern their respective tribes. In essence, all power is held by the council. To the majority of San Mata, this seems only right and proper. The chiefs chosen by each tribe are meant to lead. Most of the actual work is done by lower bodies. And much of the final approval by the council is decided beforehand in any case. The council rarely bothers itself with any issues it considers minor, and many items are passed on to respective bodies to handle. There is very little bureaucracy in the council. Decisions are made or they are delegated. There is almost no binding procedure to hinder the workings of the tribal council. The Republic Parliament. The Republic Parliament is a 35-seat hall that embodies the legislative and administrative function of the Minbata Republic. It also takes on any issue passed on to it from the Tribal Council. The Parliament is directly accountable to the Tribal Council and subservient to it in all matters. This, in addition to the fact that each tribe functions as an autonomous and internally sovereign body, means that the parliament, in contrast to its earlier incarnation, now wields little real power. Members of parliament are chosen by the 7 individual tribes. The manner and time of choosing is left up to the tribes themselves. The only requirement is that each tribe fills all 5 seats in parliament allocated to them. The term each member of parliament serves is determined by the tribes it represents. Prime Minister. The Prime Minister is a member of parliament directly appointed by the Tribal Council, who serves as the chairperson of the parliament. It is the Prime Minister's responsibility to guide and direct the parliament. The Prime Minister also distributes issues to be solved that are handed down by the Tribal Council. The office carries with it a standing invitation to attend the Tribal Council as an observer. Responsibility and powers. The Parliament is responsible for creating and maintaining all legislation relating to the Republic as a whole. The Parliament has no powers over legislation for individual tribes. This is handled by the tribes themselves. Legislation created by the Parliament must be ratified by the Tribal Council for it to become law. The Tribal Council can repeal or arbitrarily modify any legislation as it seems fit. In practice, most laws are simply signed off by the Tribal Council, as agreement is usually reached far in advance of its appearing before the Council. In practice, the amount of legislation needed for the Republic is fairly minimal. The tribal govern themselves, and any intertribal matters are almost always handled between the tribes themselves, or arranged between the appropriate parties. The Parliament also deals with issues handed to it by the Tribal Council. The Prime Minister decides how these should be dealt with. Usually, a small action group is formed to assess and deal with the issue at the end. The resolution is then passed back up to the Council for ratification. The heads of the various administrative departments of the Republic are chosen by the Parliament. Such appointments must be ratified by the Tribal Council. Republic Justice Department. The Republic Justice Department, RGD, is one of the most powerful and visible of the Myanmar Republic's government and bodies. It is responsible for the Republic's courts, prisons, and law enforcement. The RGD operates multiple levels of law enforcement. There are relatively few police on the ground, mostly at the Republic institutions and areas uncovered by tribal law. The majority of law enforcement consists of a large task force dedicated to rooting out slavery or targeting organized crime elements. These two task force functions often overlap, as a relatively few cases fall under Republic law. As opposed to tribal law, the RGD has evolved to take a leading role in the fight against slavery. Prosecuting an aggressive campaign against slavers within the Republic borders and sometimes beyond. The anti-slavery role has resulted in the Justice Department being held in exceptional high regard with the Republic, a fact which the department takes every opportunity to capitalize upon, as it makes its work that much more effective. Republic Security Services. The Republic Security Services, or SS, are just as dedicated as the Justice Department to the freedom of the Myanmar people, but have a rather more controversial reputation. The RSS are utterly ruthless in their pursuit of security for the Republic and the Myanmar as a whole. To that end, the RSS operate many clandestine cells and do not balk at maintaining links with organized crime and other underworld elements. The constant rumors of such as book contacts and activities are only given fuel by the strong showing the Crusoe make among the number of the RSS agencies. That tribe's reputation for guile and deception gives many cause for concern when it comes to their apparent influence over the RSS, and the impression of Crusoe dominance is a significant factor in the controversial standing of the security services. Nevertheless, the RSS are seen as a necessary evil by most Myanmar, and are according to the grudging respect of many across New Eden as highly effective operators. This is the end of the third episode of the Myanmar Republic. As far as I understand, they are together for a few basic laws, but they all operate by themselves. I like the centralized power, that's way more effective, and when it comes to big trouble, they are all back together to fix it. The next episode is gonna be about their culture. When I think about Myanmar, the first image that I got in my head, it's someone with a lot of tattoo. So we're gonna understand the culture about their tattoo. I also heard about a ceremony that implied the very chionistic and ended by the reveals of a tattoo. If you like what I'm doing, please hit the bell or the heart, or do the thing you need to follow me. See you next week, Kenix and friends!